Good morning. I would like to now call the commission meeting for November 28th, 2012 to order. I'd like to confirm the quorum.
Madam Chair, we have a quorum.
Great. Okay. I just want to remind everyone that due to the holidays, the commission meetings in December have been scheduled 1 week earlier than its regularly scheduled time. Therefore, the new date is December 19th, starting at 1:30 p.m. So please mark your calendars accordingly. Okay. We're now to the Policy Advisory Council report. Egon Turplin. Good morning, Egon.
Good morning, Commissioners. Egon Turplin, Vice Chair of the Policy Advisory Council. I just wanted to start by saying I'm not sure if Chair Dolly Sandoval mentioned this last month, but apologies that we missed the presentation 2 months ago. I believe it was. We got our wires crossed, but hope to be here all at all future meetings to give our report. We had a very lively and interesting discussion last month focused primarily on the Transit Sustainability Project, and I believe this is going to be coming to some of your committees in the next month, but I felt that in the report today from the Advisory Council was kind of an opportunity to step back and reflect a little bit about regionalism and the importance of regionalism, particularly I think for a lot of us on the Advisory Council. We're doing this work at MTC because we care a lot about setting goals and performance goals at a regional scale. And I think a lot of us followed the Transit Sustainability Project for precisely that reason. And so we passed a unanimous motion that got a little bit into the detail about whether we should split small operators and big operators from performance standards. But the part I wanted to really focus on was this question of when, as you're delivering the money to implement the Transit Sustainability Project, that MTC really holds the performance goals of that project. You identified a profoundly difficult problem that we're facing as a region, and a problem that will continue, in a sense, to get worse until we manage our transit system slightly better. And the notion of maintaining those goals at MTC and when you distribute money to make sure that transit operators are implementing that way. And just to sort of as a reminder, you know, one was improve financial condition, two, improve service for the customer, and three, attract new riders to the system. So in our motion, we reflected on that. As you go forward and figure out all the details of the incentive fund and all the details of other aspects of that project, that you MTC are the ones really trying to hold a high bar. We also talked a little bit about the legislative agenda, the advocacy program, which you'll hear about probably more so in future months. A topic we didn't discuss particularly at last month, and I know you're going to be addressing today about the PDA planning program, is just wanted to reflect a moment on that now as well, because we have throughout the last couple of years been very focused on SB 375 and focused really again on how does the region move forward a set of principles and goals about reducing driving, about growing in the right place, and pass numerous motions supporting staff recommendations on One Bay Area Grant, on the PDA planning program, and a variety of things. And while we didn't touch on the specific issue you're going to be talking about today, I think the Advisory Council, and certainly myself, comes at this from the notion that we think that we're doing this as a region because we think we can accomplish things better as a One Bay Area. That's the name of the program, One Bay Area, Plan Bay Area. We're trying to do things regionally. And so as you think about that and as you reflect on how to implement some of these difficult programs, holding principles and values at the regional scale is something that I certainly think is important and came up in some of the discussion we had earlier this month with others on the Advisory Council. So with that, happy to take any additional questions. But thank you very much. And again, apologies for missing that a couple of months ago.
Thank you very much. Egon, any questions? Okay, thank you very much. Okay, we'll now move on to our Executive Director's Report. Mr. Heminger.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning, Commissioners. Happy holidays. I think I have a fairly brief report here. I know you all and the country as a whole have been consumed with election results, so I won't go through all of them, but a couple of them that matter especially to transportation, the fact that in both Alameda and Los Angeles counties, the ballot measures being proposed there to extend sales taxes failed by really heartbreaking margins. I think that's especially true in Alameda, where the ultimate margin was, I think, several hundred votes. out of so many cast. Los Angeles didn't get quite that close, but in both cases, the ballot measures exceeded a 66% yes vote, but that's still not good enough. So I've been encouraged, though, to hear quite a lot of conversation, and I'm sure Assemblyman Mullen will perhaps help us on this, about lowering the vote threshold, allowing the voters to consider whether they want to lower the vote threshold for these and other kinds of local measures so that they are voted on democratically, you might say. The other thing to note is that the self-help movement that California really pioneered is catching on around the country. There were 17 different measures on the ballot in the United States on transportation funding, and 12 of them passed for a 70% success rate. Now, mind you, most of those are voted on democratically. It's 50% plus one. So it'd be nice if California had the same standard. We could maybe have some more success. I mentioned on page two that the Air Resources Board conducted the inaugural cap-and-trade auction, which is a pretty significant event. We now have the second-largest carbon market in the world after the European Union. And I think one of the surprising things, at least to the folks who follow this, was the relatively low price set for carbon for a ton. The price was $10.09, which is only 9 cents higher than the minimum. There is some speculation that the last-minute lawsuit filed by the State Chamber of Commerce might have had a chilling effect on bids, but I think the thing to note especially is the state was counting on about $500 million from the auctions this year to help balance the state budget. This first auction netted about $100 million. So I think there were quite a few sugar plums dancing in the head of a lot of advocates around California that this was going to be some big treasure trove, and at least it's not starting out that way. We will have to see whether it functions in its most important respect of reducing emissions over time. Toward the bottom of that page, I mentioned the Bay Bridge liftoff event that we had a couple of days ago that got quite a bit of press attention, and that's the fact that the so-called load transfer of the deck of the new East Span at the deep water near Yerba Buena Island has now been lifted off all the false work. It's fully supported by the cable system that's in place there, so the bridge is holding itself up. And for those of you who are my age or older, you know that holding yourself up is sometimes an achievement. This bridge is only an infant, though, so we're counting on it holding itself up for a good long time. It's worth noting that this is really the last major milestone that we've got to achieve. We've got plenty of work ahead of us before Labor Day next year, but most of that work is quite a bit more conventional. It's a lot of painting and striping and electrical and mechanical work. It's stuff that on a day like today can get delayed. So we're hoping for some drought conditions for at least part of the winter so they can get the thing painted up well. But we're still trending toward an opening day event for Labor Day weekend in 2013. And I'll mention at the bottom of that page, I was down in San Diego yesterday. We meet the so-called Big Four metropolitan planning organizations every couple of months and share notes on how we're complying with SB 375. And the major topic was a recent tentative Superior Court ruling invalidating the environmental impact report for the San Diego Sustainable Community Strategy, which is obviously bad news for them. It could conceivably be bad news for us, too, because it's unlikely that we'll have a resolution of that lawsuit by the time we have to adopt our plan next summer. So those of you interested in that issue, I encourage you to talk to Adrian about it. But we are obviously monitoring it closely, and we'll try to learn whatever lessons we need to so that we don't have a similar fate. And maybe closing where I started on the election note, you'll see the map of the month behind the award-winning Commissioner Ann Halstead over there in the paper this morning, is several different versions of the red and the blue map that you've seen for presidential elections for many years now. And this set of data, which comes from the University of Michigan, is trying to convey, as I say in the report, a more nuanced version of what's really going on out there, because I think there's an extent to which our polarization perhaps is exaggerated. You know, the upper left-hand small map is what we typically see, where it's red state, blue state. The one beneath it is a county-based map. And when you look at the county-based map, you wonder, well, how the hell did Barack Obama get reelected, right? It looks all red. But, of course, what happens in both of those maps is that they color in an entire area of geography based on winner-take-all. So if you look at the bottom-left map, that starts to depict the percent of the general popular vote. And so it shows shadings in places where, you know, the president didn't beat Governor Romney 100-0 in one county and then lose 0-100 in the next. They were divided. What the large map tries to do is to put in not only the popular vote blending, but also a voter density component. So the lighter the color means fewer people. And obviously a big stretch of that red in the United States is very low population areas. And so I think the tail of the tape here is that when you roll all those factors together, you see a much more purple country. That perhaps is a good thing. And maybe we can start dwelling on our similarities instead of our differences. I'll let that be my New Year's resolution a few weeks ahead of time. So that concludes my report.
Thank you, Steve. We are now to Commissioner comments. Oh, I'm sorry. Mark, please, no, go ahead.
Commissioner Mullen.
Oh, sure.
Since you're going up there next week, one of the things we're going to be needing out of our county, though, Kevin, early on, is even before the threshold being lowered, which is needed, we need our own county to be able to go forward again, which means we need legislation to allow, giving us an additional half cent coverage ability in Alameda County. And I know you're going to be going with Rob Bonta, Quirk, and some others whom I've already talked to, and they're in favor of this. And hopefully you will be also at least allowing our county. I don't know about the other eight. You might want to. You may not need it, but our county does need another half cent cap to reach. So we would appreciate your support on that matter when you get up there next week. Thanks.
I'd like starting right away.
There you go.
Bill Dodd?
Yes. Conspicuously missing from the director's report was the fact that Measure T in Napa did pass. Now, I recognize that Alameda probably spent more on their campaign than we made in ours, but nevertheless, we're pretty happy about that. We won 75-25, and for a county that's had a really tough time getting over the hump, we're pretty proud of that.
Self-help.
Okay, any other commissioner comments? Okay, we'll then move to the consent calendar. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Moved by Spearing, second by Rainworth. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Seeing none, that moves. Okay. We are now to committee reports. We have Programming and Allocations Committee. Commissioner Glover is not here. I don't recall who is the program. Vice Chair of Programming and Allocation.
Campos. Commissioner Campos is also not present.
Okay.
Could you present the item, Madam Chair?
All right. Resolution number 3738 revised is the BART car replacement project status update and funding request. We are asking for authorization for BART to withdraw up to $15.5 million from the BART car replacement funding exchange account to help meet project expenses. I will move that for approval. We have a motion and a second by a motion by myself, a second by Commissioner Spearing. All in favor?
Aye.
Seeing any opposed? Seeing none, that matter passes. We're now to item number 8, which is the next step for priority development area planning. Mr. Heminger.
Madam Chair, Commissioners, good morning again. And this item relates to the fact that you kept busy while I was gone last month. And we're doing a little catching up today. First of all, to make sure we understand correctly what you did, and also to propose to you a couple of additional actions that we think would round out and contextualize the action you took, and then also to kick off a discussion about what to do with the remaining priority development area planning funds that will remain at the regional level. So maybe to start with a bit of context, Alex, if we could go to the first slide. And I don't want to dwell on this, but I think it is important to recall the history. The funds that are at issue here are the so-called STP and CMAC funds that we get from Washington. They're flexible federal highway dollars. And they really became available to our region and elsewhere in the early 1990s. And when we began spending those funds, that's actually when we created the Bay Area Partnership and started working, I think, much more intensively. The CMAs, the Congestion Management Agencies, were created about that time. And it's really when we started that partnership and that effort of trying to compare apples and oranges and bananas and grapefruit, because before ICE-T, we got federal highway money, and you had three choices about how to spend it. You could build a highway or build a highway or build a highway. With ICE-T, you could spend that money doing that or repairing local roads or fixing up transit. We got a phenomenal amount of flexibility. And the way the money was administered in the Bay Area, it was directed to MTC under federal and state law, and we administered it on a discretionary basis at the regional level, 100% of it. Over time, we have evolved that framework so that more and more of the money has been administered or controlled at the CMA or county level. And what you can see on the slide now is where we stand today with the One Bay Area grant framework that you approved in the summer. And about 40% of the money now is administered by the CMAs in the blue, and then about 60% is still administered regionally in the orange. And you can see, and you could probably see it a little better in the handout, all the various regional programs that compose that orange. And they range everywhere from buying BART cars to running the Clipper program. It's all kinds of stuff. And the action you took last month affected that hatched piece of the regional pie, which is the $40 million that was reserved for regional administration of a priority development area grant program. And your action was to essentially split that baby in half and move half of it, $20 million, to the OBAG framework and leave the other half at the regional level. So, first step we need to take today is to make sure we understand what you did, because you acted by oral motion and not with any written documentation. And so our understanding of the three basic actions you took in the motion that was approved was, first of all, that the $20 million funds would be subvened to the CMAs for distribution to local jurisdictions for PDA land use planning and assistance. So essentially a pass-through kind of a program. Secondly, that the allocation formula is basically the same formula we use to allocate OBAG money, with the exception that there would be a county minimum of no less than $750,000 going to any one county. There's a similar equity guarantee in the OBAG formula, but it's different. So what you see in the results here are slightly different allocations of money, but achieving the same basic purpose. And the third major component of the motion was that in San Francisco, the funds would be subvened not to the CMA, but to the San Francisco Planning Department, recognizing the unique nature of San Francisco as both a city and a county. There's only one city in the county. So that is our understanding of the action you took, and if we've got any of that wrong, we need you to tell us about that today when you act on the additional information. So this is the allocation that results from applying that formula with the county minimum of $750,000, and you can see all the counties listed on the left, the formula percentage, and then the ultimate PDA planning amount adding up to $20 million bucks. Next one. So that's our understanding of what you did. We believe there are three additional actions that you should take to clarify the motion you adopted and to allow us to carry it out in terms of implementation. So these are what you might call fine points, although they might be disputed or argued by some, and that's what today's hearing is about. So the fourth action we believe you need to take is to require the CMA grantees and the planning department in San Francisco to require that those expenditures be aligned with the PDA investment and growth strategy that the CMAs are going to be adopting. In other words, they're doing some planning to try to identify where the best PDAs are. Where are the PDAs that are readiest to go, that might have the highest impact, and so on. And we believe you should require that the money should follow that planning result. The money should not be handed out in some kind of formula basis, which sometimes is the case in how the CMAs allocate money, not only from us, but their own money. We think this ought to be discretionary, and it ought to reflect the priorities that are adopted in those plans, in those growth strategies. Fifth, we believe you should limit the expenditure by any CMA on administration of these funds to no more than 5% of their share. So the numbers you saw just previously, our proposal is no more than 5% of that should go to overhead at the CMA itself. That is for the purpose of trying to ensure that it is, in fact, a pass-through program and not an opportunity for the CMAs to draw significant amounts of it for their own overhead or planning purposes. The reason we recommend that is twofold. If you can go to the next slide, Alex. One thing that I think, and I listened to the tape of your discussion last month, one thing that I think was missing was the fact that under the OBAG framework, the CMAs have considerable flexibility about how to spend that money. Remember, that money used to be TLC, it used to be regional bike program, it used to be local roads, and it used to be CMA planning. Under the terms of OBAG, the CMAs can spend any of that money on any of those things. And so they can spend not only the base amount of money we give them for planning, but more than that if they so desire. And in fact, as this chart shows, many of them intend to spend more than their base amount of CMA planning. What you see in this chart on the screen on the left-hand side is the total amount of their OBAG grant by county. The next one over, called program base, is the base amount of CMA planning that's nested within that total. The column next to that, proposed augmentation, is the amount that each CMA is proposing to take in addition to the base amount. So, in other words, they're using the base that they've relied on for years, and then they are augmenting that with additional OBAG money that they will use for their own planning or administrative purposes. So that gives them a total planning amount, as you can see in the next to last column on the right, of about $36 million, which is a considerable sum above, about $9 million more than the base amount of planning. And if you look at the chart in the next slide, which is also in your packet, what you will see over time, and this goes back not to iced tea but to safe tea, we didn't quite take it back to the beginning, but it shows you in red the amount of CMA planning that the congestion management agencies have received from MTC over those periods, and it's shown in red, and it has grown substantially, as you can see. In blue, you will see the augmentations that they have taken, first of all, in the first cycle of the money that we're talking about today, as well as what they are proposing to take in OBAG, which gets them from a beginning number of about $2 million in 1998 to about $9 million at the end of the OBAG period. We've put the CPI line in there just as a point of comparison. And as a point of comparison, you can see that the amount of funding we've provided the CMAs for their own planning purposes has grown substantially above inflation. So in our view, there is not a need for additional funding to be drawn from this $20 million for that purpose, and that all of it except for 5% ought to be able to be passed through to the ultimate beneficiaries of PDA planning, which are the cities building the PDAs. So maybe to go back to Alex, the last condition that we recommend you include is really more of an administrative matter, but it is the fact that we think there ought to be flexibility for the cities who ultimately get these grants to be either to be able to directly access the funds through Caltrans, or the CMAs could choose to administer the program themselves. Now, you've got at your places, I believe, a memo from ABAG, and their executive director and their vice chair is here. And so I think they may want to touch on that point with an idea of their own. I'll also note you've got in front of you some letters from interested parties in yellow on this item. So those six points we would like you to act on one way or another today, because that will allow us then to carry out the action you took at your meeting last month. Now, what's left undone is how do we spend the $20 million that's left at the regional level in regional PDA planning? And what we're bringing to you today are just three options, not for action, but just for information, because we want to send these around to our advisory council and the CMAs and others and bring it back to you for action probably in January of next year. But there are two basic programs at issue here. The first is whether we should use the remaining 20 to do some PDA planning of ourselves. I will tell you that one of the consequences of subvening half of the PDA planning money to the counties is that it results in the money only being able to be spent in those counties. And some of those counties, like Santa Clara, like Alameda, have a very large city in them with a lot of PDA potential. And the subvention will have the effect, I think, of restricting the amount that those larger cities might be able to get. A regional PDA program would be able to address that directly by perhaps complementing what the CMAs do in their counties. So if they're able to do X amount, the regional PDA planning could come in later and do Y, and perhaps focus more of the funding in the larger jurisdictions that will have a greater financial need to carry out this PDA planning. So one idea obviously is that with the remaining $20 million, we spend some amount of it on regional PDA planning with MTC and ABAG leading that as we had originally planned. We have less money to deal with, but the idea would be it's still a good concept and we use some of the money for that. The other major potential use of those funds at the regional level is with the TOA fund, the Transportation TOD Affordable Housing Fund. And I think, Alex, on the next page, there's some detail about what that fund is. If you recall, you made a $10 million investment in that fund a year or so ago. It was matched by $40 million in private investment from banks and foundations. So a very unusual situation. Usually we're the ones being leveraged by somebody else. This was a case where the shoe was on the other foot. To date, five loans have closed, totaling $20 million, supporting the construction of over 600 housing units, 80% of them affordable. There are four additional loans in the pipeline. So long story short here, that $50 million initial investment is well on the way to being spent and committed. And remember, it's a revolving fund. So as the developers use this to secure property and then pay the fund back, then you can recycle the money and keep going. But the other major idea, Alex, if you can go back to the prior slide, is using some amount of this regional funding as another investment into that fund. We believe, based on our discussions with those folks, that we probably can't get 4-to-1 leverage this time. It might be only 3-to-1, but you would still be able to get that money into circulation and get quite a bit of leverage off of it if you're inclined to do that. So what we've shown you here are three options that just are different combinations of those ideas. So the first option would spend a balanced amount on both. The second option would spend all of it on regional PDA planning. The third would spend all of it on TOA. There are obviously other combinations, but I think the policy matter for you is, do you want to share it between those programs or focus only on one or the other? What you will see common to all three of these options, and something that we really don't think we ought to move off of, is the offer that you've made to ABAG, which they've accepted, of providing $2 million from this pot of money for additional regional planning activity by ABAG itself. And that was part of the discussion that you had, board members had, face-to-face over the last several months. So what we carry forward in these options is $2 million to ABAG no matter what. So what varies is how you spend the remaining $18 million. So, again, we welcome any discussion you'd like to have about that today, but we're not asking for any action on it. What we are asking for is action on the three additional conditions, and, Alex, maybe we could just go back to those. That's the main item, as well as any correction that you want to make to our understanding of the first three items, which you took in the form of a motion at your meeting last month. That concludes our report.
Thank you, Mr. Heminger. Let me see if there's any comments from my commissioners. I do have speakers, so if I just want to make sure, is there any commissioners who would like to say a word, like to hear from the after the speakers? Anyone else after speakers? Okay, very good. Let's start with Julie Pierce.
Good morning, Commissioners. Julie Pierce, Vice President of ABAG. Glad to be here today. A discussion point that I think we all need to touch on just a little bit. Since 2007, ABAG has been administering and coordinated the development of PDA plans. You've heard us talk about them for some time. There's 200-plus PDA plans and all varying stages of development. These are really critical to implementing the SCS and creating the market conditions needed for the new housing and commercial development that will support our revived economy. We provide a single point of contact for coordinating the PDA plans and administering the grants. We can draw upon the expertise that we've had, that we've been doing these for a long time. Many local jurisdictions either don't have the staff at all or are very understaffed, even if they have PDAs going in, or are totally unfamiliar with the very complicated process that's involved. Many CMAs as well are not really equipped to do this kind of broad-based administration of the actual PDA development. Yes, they've done the administration of other grants for local streets and roads and for safe routes to school and TLC stuff in the past, but then they've leaned on as well on the local jurisdictions, and very often local jurisdictions just don't have the support that they need. And here's where ABAG can help in developing the RFPs, creating the scopes of work, helping to select consultant teams. They can draw on lessons learned from previous plans. They can provide the day-to-day support for the local project managers. It also allows us to evaluate the successes regionally and learn from what each other are doing by having that broader overview of how all of the PDAs are performing and challenges that they're facing. We can help to put together programs and workshops for local officials to help them be more prepared to do the work that they need to do. We can also provide a single point of contact for all of the regional agencies rather than each of the communities having to do that on their own. And I think it's going to be probably an issue for each CMA to decide. Some CMAs are better equipped to do this. Some CMAs would rather not have the overhead. I've talked with my own CMA, and they just assume not have to have the burden of administrating all of the CMAs individually. That's a lot of paperwork. Yes, there's extra money, but I think that's an issue. So we're making the plea to keep a lot of this money centralized, allow ABAG to keep that job that we've been doing, and to help all the local jurisdictions that need it. Thank you.
Thank you, Julie. Next speaker, Ezra Rappaport.
Well, thank you, Ezra Rappaport, ABAG Executive Director. I won't repeat anything Julie said. Our annual budget is $4 million, and we include in that many other Council of Government tasks. But we felt organized to be able to administer the PDA program coming forward for the next 4 years. And given the fact that the CMAs want to build some institutional capacity and knowledge of land use within the cities in their jurisdiction, which we support, we think we can help support the CMAs by doing the administration of the PDAs once the CMAs do the selection process. That will relieve some of the administrative burden from the CMAs, and it will allow ABAG to centralize and learn from all of the experience that we've gained to date and continue this process forward as we move into implementation. As you know, the FOCUS program was originated through ABAG and MTC. We work very closely at the regional level to put that program together. There's still improvements to be made in that program, but when we think of PDAs, we want you to think of ABAG. We want you to think that our role as a land use, a regional land use agency, is to be experts in priority development areas and the issues that they face in implementation. And to that end, we were hoping to put more money in the technical assistance fund so that we can start attacking some of the specific issues that hold PDAs back. So it's one thing to identify geographically where we want growth to occur with the city's support because they're the local land use authority. It's another thing to identify the specific obstacles, whether they're a sewer program or a specific zoning issue or something else that gets in the way of entitlements, so that we can attack that problem with a pool of information and gain more capacity within the regional agency of ABAG so we can be even more efficient going into the future and may not rely so heavily on consultants and outside knowledge. So our main point is this. If you decide, and I think you have, that the CMA should receive $20 million more for the PDA program, we would like to help them administer it. We'd also like to keep some regional dollars aside for strategic PDA selection as well as technical assistance. And furthermore, on the TOA program, which we think is a good program, it's really a proof of concept idea. It will never be able to achieve scale. We really need a state program for affordable housing, and I think we have achieved the proof of concept. Thank you.
Madam Chair, I have a question.
Thank you, Ezra. We have a question
for Mr. Rappaport. Yeah. Just to clarify ABAG's proposal, I haven't seen it in writing. I assume there will be some sort of written proposal. Would that impact, for example, San Francisco as an example, which does have a pretty significant amount of planning capacity and probably doesn't need much technical assistance? There's a wide variety in terms of capacity.
I think that's a two-way direction. We may end up learning more from San Francisco than we are able to contribute to San Francisco, but San Francisco's success is based on how this overall regional program works. So when we work with San Francisco, we try to find ways to identify, for example, the transportation problems that come from high concentrated growth downtown, and maybe support even further some of the master plans that are required to see how that would actually function and how we can build a network to that transportation system outside of San Francisco.
But isn't that sort of, in a sense, putting another layer of overhead if there's already capacity within a jurisdiction? I understand there's some jurisdictions that don't have nearly as much capacity. They don't have the same...
Right. Outside of San Jose, there are no other jurisdictions with that type of capacity. But the key here is the regional integration into San Francisco. And so that's where we would concentrate our efforts.
And the funding for the technical assistance that you referred to, that's above the $2 million that's being proposed?
Well, originally, there was never actually a plan for the $41 million in the resolution. But there's been $2 million proposed, and there's been $7 million proposed. And we know that the technical assistance program in the past did not work well. It had a lot of paperwork and very small grants. But we think we can revise that program so it's much more targeted to specific technical issues that we can gain capacity for. So we would advocate for a $7 million, and this is over 4 years, technical assistance program.
And that additional or the higher level of technical assistance money going to ABAG, that would presumably then reduce the individual block grants amounts going to each county. It would have to come.
No, we're not proposing any reduction to the $20 million. We're talking about the $21 million that remains in the regional pot after right. The $20 million has been deducted from the CMA. So what we wanted remaining in the regional pot is a certain amount of regional dollars for PDA planning that could be strategically applied. A second is a technical assistance fund. And if we were able to assist CMAs with their PDAs, which would keep us pretty busy, we think we could reduce the amount of the strategic PDA fund and put some money back into right. TOA. So that's the two options that we presented. So I know you have a lot of options in front of you.
Yeah.
You can divide the money up.
I guess the point is that the technical support number, whatever that is, has to come from somewhere. It's not going somewhere else.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
Just for clarification, Mr. Weiner, we did get you might look under that pile. There are some papers here.
I just saw it in the pile okay. we got today.
Okay.
So, yeah, I hadn't seen it before.
Yeah. Ezra, I appreciate your clarification. If I may impose on you for a little bit more, I'm looking at these charts. I'm trying to compare apples to oranges. So
right.
You just said that what this represents is of the $41 million, the action that was last month, the intent was the $20 million would go directly back to the CMAs, and what option one and option two that you presented strictly refers to the remaining $21 million.
That's correct.
Million.
That is correct.
Okay.
The $20 million, we assume, stays in place. What we are offering is to assist the CMAs that want this assistance to administer the PDA grants once the CMAs have selected which cities would do it. And that would relieve their administrative burden. And there is substantial burden in doing it for how we advance PDAs in light of all the regional benefit that they have.
Okay. Thank right. you.
I know Mr. Bates wants to speak, and then Mr. Green.
I have a question. You know, you're looking at this chart. It says technical support, $7 million. So that's you, or that remains with the MTC?
Well, all of the ABAG programs are collaborative with MTC. We take the lead on them, but the land use programs are collaborative with MTC. So we're working to join the MTC planning and the ABAG planning together, but they address land use issues.
So is that the $7 million you were talking about?
Yes.
Okay, so that's in the budget proposed.
That's in our option to have the $21 million include... includes $7
million. Shown across the board, all of the options shown across the board.
Right, exactly.
So I guess I'm not exactly clear on what the role of the CMAs in relation to the PDAs, and what function. I understand you can provide a technical assistance to them, but I'm wondering beyond that, I don't understand exactly what the CMA's roles are. If you're going to be sort of a super umbrella, and then we have you know, the MTC after that?
Well, in our system, we have a lot of different institutions that are operating, and they all have certain amounts of capacity. We would like institutional integration so that the CMAs who are doing all the project lists for transportation are more sensitive and knowledgeable about the land uses that they're serving. So to the extent that the CMAs are building capacity about land use issues in the county, we think that's a good thing. And so we encourage a relationship between the CMAs, ABAG, and local government, and the $20 million could do that, in our view, to some extent. But when it comes to administering these programs, we think it's much more efficient to have ABAG do it rather than the CMAs having nine different administrative capacities with nine different methods of administration of the PDAs.
Just spell out what that means, administrating it, the program. That means the money. I mean, I'm a little confused. The CMA makes the grant to the to the local cities. The cities do the planning. You do technical support. You might provide other information for them.
Well, we make sure their planning is complete so that when the PDAs come in, they're planned PDAs, and they have a strong basis for actually using the sustainability criteria that have been established over the years. They're much more have make sure we ensure the access to transit. We ensure a quality, complete community set of issues like design review and guidance, et cetera. We help them with zoning flexibility. We alert them to issues that will get in the way of implementation. We give them some sense of market feasibility.
Okay. So then MTC really has a minor function at that point. Is that correct?
Well, I think MTC is gaining more and more capacity with their modeling efforts to assist ABAG as well as ABAG assisting MTC with that modeling. So our intent is to integrate the ABAG and MTC planning units with a consolidated work plan to facilitate this.
I just want to make sure that whoever has responsibility has the capacity to do that, and we're not going to duplicate it with the two different agencies. And you're telling me I don't need to worry about that.
Yes, I am telling you that.
Okay. So you agree with this, not to worry about it?
Commissioner, I think it's the case that, as Ezra said, we've developed a level of capacity at the regional level to carry out these sorts of activities. And I think he's also right that that level is more uneven when you look around the Bay Area at the county level. I also think he's right, thirdly, that we want to develop more of that capacity at the county level. So to the extent that, and I'm trying to conceptualize this into a phrase so you can really debate it, on the sixth item here that's up on the screen, what we're offering currently are two ways for the grants to be administered. The jurisdictions can either do it themselves through Caltrans, or the CMAs could administer the grants for them. I think Ezra is sort of offering a third option that, as I understand it, Ezra, at the CMA's election, ABAG could administer it for them instead of the CMA or the local jurisdiction doing it.
I guess I'm wondering, what are they going to administer? What are they going to administer?
Well, I don't think it's as much, you know, filling out the grant application as essentially supervising the work. To make sure that it's carried out properly and that it results in some added value.
So we have the planning is all done. Then we need the implementation strategies, right? So we're figuring the private sector is going to be able to implement these PDAs?
Well, what the PDA planning does, and what we've used the stationary planning program, which is its predecessor for, is teeing up the capital investment.
Right.
And the more planning and in the station area, the PDA area is obviously larger, but the best ones are plans that clear issues,
right,
and pave the way for you to go get capital money,
right,
and the capital money comes out of OBAG.
Okay.
Among other places.
Okay.
Yeah, the local governments can plan, but there's a wide range of consistency in the quality of their planning. We try to equalize that to make sure these key issues are addressed.
Well, I think one of the, and we appreciate this discussion, it makes it very clear to me, but I think one of the biggest problems is going to be, quite frankly, citizens that oppose this in various ways, and using lawsuits, particularly around CEQA. I know there's going to be some attention paid for that by the legislature to try to limit that for PDAs, and I would certainly recommend that we work conjointly with ABAG to try to come up with some ideas about how we can protect the people's right to make sure the projects mitigate real impacts, but also at the same time eliminate frivolous and delaying lawsuits.
Based on what I've heard the MTC director say today, that at least on this part of the discussion, no action is being sought, and that Steve, when are you wanting to have this actually brought back for a decision? In December, January, or what?
Commissioner, I think the conversation we just had, we are seeking action on that. So yeah. For the items in your packet and on the screen, 1 through 6,
I know that.
We want action today. For the remaining regional money, the other $20 million,
right, that's one part I'm
January.
Talking about. Mm-hmm. January.
Okay. January next year.
Okay. Then that's where you can draw yourself back up. Here are my thoughts on. First of all, I'm completely in agreement with the first 21, and I all of that fits in. I'll talk about it later when we get back to the motion. But on this remaining 20, I know that we have three options laid out here by MTC, two additional options laid out by ABAG, and since this is going to be, as I hear now, actually being brought back for finalization in 2 months, it gives us. This gives this body some time, I think, to explore the questions that I think needs to be resolved. One of which is in taking what Julie said, which is, I might add, again, it's much different from Alameda County's perspective on life, because in this discussion with the executive director last night, he believes that not having ABAG administer the CMA's portion of the money in Alameda County is preferable. I'll admit, though, there might be other counties that see things differently. So what I'm getting at is in your option one, I think the wording there was, is ABAG administer CMA. It should be said somewhere in there if desired, if sought, if requested, or something like that. There should be some kind of change in that in your option one. In the option two, and I've heard sort of a mini tug of war on the TOA. And in concept, I agree. We've had this discussion before, Ezra, about there needs to be a statewide solution from housing, and the amount of units you're getting for this amount of money is, small, but still, anything small is still better than nothing, as I would say. So having a complete zero in the option two box sort of bothers me. I mean, just to be completely candid. And I would like to at least offer into this discussion over the next 2 months, and I think some of these options on the MTC thing are too, there's not enough flexibility in there. I do think that some other options, whether the PD under your option two, the ABAG option two, I think that should be an option three or a modification off these numbers of, the technical support maybe staying there, but I think some money needs to go into TOA, which means I guess the PDA grant money would have to and or the technical support would have to depress a little bit. But I think we need some money in the TOA grant fund. But I do think that having a modification of option two with the caveat about if counties sought or requested that would be acceptable to me. I mean, I think that's where I think those kind of things need to be fleshed out a little more between now and January. I mean, I think there's a little nuance in some of these options. I call it my option 2A or 2B or something like that. So, I just like to see the discussions that are going on and the final wording be a little different than what's presented by any of the five options, so to speak, that I have in front of me right now.
Thank you. My comments are going to more or less reflect what Commissioner Green just said, which is a rare moment of, yeah, please do, yeah. It's a final act of consensus here, but I'm a little more clear about a few other things. First of all, I'm very clear that the Commission did the right thing, perhaps in a more rugged way than we would like to, last month when we committed the $20 million to go to the CMAs. It's really important that the PDA planning be able to occur in every community, not just in be limited to the largest growth areas. And I think that that was the core of what our action last month really addressed. And when we took that action, we did not intend to disrupt the other $20 million. And so we're now taking a look at this other $20 million and whether we should keep it as it had been originally proposed or not. Before I go on to a couple other points, I'm going to ask Alex to just put up slide 7. You know, there's a little bit of CMA bashing going on with this slide by sort of illustrating how much money the CMAs have gotten over the last decade, more money. But from my point of view, I've observed that the CMAs have also taken on significantly more responsibilities. We've given them bike and pedestrian planning. We gave them HIP responsibilities. We gave them the TLC money to work with. We've converted our CMAs into more than just a road program, and I think that's really appropriate. And then most importantly, in the last 2 years, the CMAs have taken the really as much, if not more, of the harshness around the SB 375. So I think that along with that climbing revenue source, we've seen CMAs take on additional responsibility. And I think that's really a good thing because we as a commission said 7-8 years ago, we need the CMAs to be our missionaries. We need them closer to the ground, closer to local jurisdictions to carry the messages of how we can perform regionally together. And so I think that that's in conjunction with the growing revenues have been growing responsibilities. Bringing it back to where we are today, what I would really ask is that this commission give a strong affirmation to the importance of the TOA program and not to undermine it. I appreciate what Ezra says about it not being a scalable program and the fact that we need a statewide source. Senator DeSaulnier made an attempt last year at the state level. We need to keep working with whoever we can to get to that statewide funding source. But until we do, we can't just sit around and wait. And I think that the fact that the TOA program has worked and needs additional funding to keep going forward means to me, and what I would like to hear today from this commission is a base that we don't want to see less than $12 million. I'd like to see somewhere between $12 and $15 million to that program, and that we're going to be committed to it and give a strong message so that the leveraging partners will believe that we are going to be standing firm with them to keep this program going. Then in terms of the ABAG proposal around administration, I think if it is an optional administration offer made to CMAs, that's fine with me because there may be CMAs that would find that useful. If it was an absolute requirement, I would be in opposition to that. I think that ABAG has provided our leadership around PDAs, and I want to see them continue, but I also want to see that those skills that have been developed through the SB 375 planning, the HIP program, and TLC, be able to continue to mature in the CMAs, and they are much closer to the local jurisdictions that will be receiving the planning funds. But I do think that if we, like Commissioner Green, that it was just too black and white in the three options we were handed, and that I think that if we were to make a baseline commitment to TOA, then the difference between whether that 12 and 20 million, excuse me, 12 and 18 million with 2 million set aside for ABAG, that money there could be distributed between the technical assistance or the regional planning augmentation, and that's really where I'd like to see us have the next 2 months focus on how to distribute those funds while maintaining a strong floor of support for TOA. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I apologize, Steve. I'm a bit confused right now. So if you could, the PDA planning grant money, whether it's 26 or 12, where does MPC staff envision that money to go? Does that make sense to you?
Try again.
Me? I got to ask it again?
Yeah, please.
That was my best shot. Okay, so if we went along with ABAG and we
said, is there a page you're looking at?
I'm looking at ABAG's letter.
Okay, let's do that. Okay.
Okay, so if I just said, looking at option two,
right,
and $12 million, well, no, that's not really going to address my question, because I'm trying to figure out, of this, let me try it this way, of this $21 million, did MTC envision that we needed any of this money for planning purposes, or is it in fact, like Ezra said, we just give it to ABAG and they administer it and we're
our, our original intention, Commissioner, again, was focused on a $40
million. Yeah, I know. Forget that. Because we're down to 21
I'll let
now.
That go now. But that's what we were thinking about. Now that we're down to 20, I think it's the same suspects, though. It's really a choice between, and if you assume that ABAG gets its $2 million, let's make that assumption, too. So we're down to 18. So 19. There are two potential claimants for that 18. Either the TOA fund or some regional form of PDA planning, technical assistance, call it what you will. And the mixture of those, I think, is the policy question before you. And I think there are fair arguments on either side of how much each of those ought to get. As Ezra said, we've had a sort of mixed approach on administering these funds. The Station Area Planning Program, which is really the predecessor for all of this, was really an MTC-administered thing with ABAG assisting. When we turned that into more of a PDA focus, the role sort of reversed, and it was more of an ABAG-administered thing with an MTC assist. It's our money, no matter what you're talking about, and that hasn't changed. It's really about who controls it, who administers it, who's really closer to the folks doing the work.
But am I really hearing that these cities and the nine counties, I'm almost feeling like I heard, look, they're going to put together their proposals and they're going to be messed up and we're going to have to fix them to make them look good. And I don't know that I buy into that.
I'm not trying to convey.
I didn't hear it from you. I think I heard it from Ezra.
I'll say two things. First of all, this is federal money, and federal money is a royal pain in the butt to deal with. For small jurisdictions, nonprofit folks who get this money, I mean, they need a lot of help because the federal money comes with the federal rule book, which was like built in the interstate period. Secondly, I think it is true that there is an uneven experience. I mean, I think Commissioner Wiener's right. I mean, the San Francisco Planning Department's perfectly capable of carrying out this work, as would San Jose's.
As Alameda County.
The same is not necessarily true for every jurisdiction. And so I think we want to match up. If we've got a good PDA in a place that doesn't quite know how to do this, we want to help them do it.
So then you wouldn't support, in your own recommendation, you wouldn't support item three, because that doesn't leave any money for assistance.
What's item three?
I'm sorry, option three. Now I've gone over to your staff
report. Oh, I see. Okay.
I'm over in your staff report now, because option three.
No, look, I think both option two and three are somewhat extreme. I mean, we just put them out there just to sort of stake out the ends of the argument. I think something like option one, and I think Commissioner Kinsey is proposing a variation on it, some sort of mixture of some of the money going to TOA, some of the money going to regional PDA planning. I think that's probably what makes the most sense.
I actually thought option one made the most sense, too. Yes.
Commissioner McKenzie. Thank you, Madam Chair. Jake McKenzie, representing the nine Sonoma County cities and Sonoma County. I was going to say that I was going to indulge in a consensual act with Commissioners Green and Kinsey, and I believe
in the legislative
sense, Commissioner Green, and so I find myself sympathetic to what Commissioner Green said, and then that which was added to these remarks by Commissioner Kinsey, and so you'll be relieved to know, Madam Chair, that I'm going to terminate my remarks with adding my support to what these two commissioners said. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. A couple questions and a comment. The question about condition number four, if we could go back to that slide. just so I understand clearly, does that mean that CMAs would be subject to the same planning grant guidelines that MTC has been following? Is that really what we're saying here?
I'm thinking the answer to that is probably yes. What the CMAs are engaged in now, if you recall, Commissioner, is carrying out a requirement that's in OBAG that they adopt a investment and growth strategy. And remember, we went back and forth with them over the exact contours of that.
Right.
And it's been sort of narrowed down a bit, but it's still a piece of work. What all we're saying here is we want their investments or selections of PDA grant recipients to be informed by the planning they do. And we don't want to see a peanut butter approach where
right.
County A says everybody gets $5 or everybody gets a minimum of X. That this is intended, and it's not a lot of money, which is why we're fighting over it the most, right? It's always the smallest pot you fight over the most. But it's not a lot of money, so it needs to be very strategically spent.
Yeah, I agree. I just think it's difficult for CMAs to resist the temptation to adopt the peanut butter approach. I think
that,
we are all in the political process.
That is why we started with 40 at the regional level.
I understand. So my concern with TOA, I don't really know what the projects look like. I don't know how deep a level of affordability. I don't know how close those units are to transit. I mean, I understand there are 645 units, you know, from the time of adoption to today, and I guess we've got another 460 in the pipeline. 645 affordable units is nice, but we'll be under construction with at least that many in my district, my small district of San Jose, in the next year anyway. So it's not a lot over the whole Bay Area. And so I'm really wondering, you know, between now and January, can we get a sense of what these projects really look like, how deep the level of subsidy, you know, who qualifies, is family, SRO, what's this look like?
Commissioner, we absolutely can. I will tell you that some of them are in San Jose.
Oh, good.
But I think we also have...
I love them.
I think we also have folks who are waiting to speak who right. could probably speak knowledgeably about that right now, too.
Okay. I have some additional comments, but if you wanted to...
It might be worth hearing from the public. We have about 8 more speakers, and then we can maybe come back and
sure.
give some at least direction. For. So let's go ahead with Sarah, if I've got this right, Phillips.
Good morning, Commissioner Sarah Dennis Phillips. I'm the manager of Citywide Plans and Programs in the San Francisco Planning Department. We wanted to thank you for your action recognizing our uniqueness within being a city and a county and the strength of our planning department in working on these PDA grants. With that, though, we also, because of that action, we're relatively insulated from a lot of what you're discussing today. But we believe strongly in regional planning, and we've been working closely with ABAG and MTC staff for quite a while now, and they've been very supportive and helpful towards our efforts, even with the strength that we have within our own jurisdiction. So I just wanted to speak to that a little bit, particularly in support of ABAG's continued involvement in administrating PDA planning grants. We've benefited from a number of stationary planning grants and PDA, what is now the PDA planning grants. Currently, we're working on the Central Corridor, which is looking at land uses and public improvements along our new Central Subway. The structure of that program has been really helpful to us to make sure that we're including a diversity of housing types, space for a diversity of job types, and addressing a full range of community needs, be it childcare, open space, other types of community services. And that's really what I wanted to talk to you a little bit about today. I do think that continuing ABAG's involvement can help CMAs make sure that these planning grants are administered in the right way. I have heard what you said about growing CMA's capacity, and I think that is something that's happening and is going to be a very strong thing in our region as we move forward. But they're not land use planning agencies, and I do think having the support of an entity like ABAG will be really critical in making sure that our PDAs, as they grow, do include what we call complete communities. It's just not something that our transit agencies are used to looking at, and it's something that our planning department does look at, and I think ABAG can be a strong partner in helping that move forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Janet Stone, followed by Evelyn Stivers, followed by Miriam Hawley.
Good morning, Commissioners. Janet Stone. I'm the Housing Policy and Development Manager for San Mateo County Department of Housing. Just like to make a couple brief comments. First of all, I'd like to support what the previous speaker said about the importance of ABAG and MDC regional staff's ability to help the CMAs with things like model RFPs, process guidelines, et cetera, that any CMA would be able to use or not use at its own discretion. But even I can tell you, even for the more experienced CMAs, it's very helpful to have materials and assistance and technical assistance in the administration process of the local funds to make sure that best practices are incorporated into the process. So I highly support what the ABAG speaker said about their ability to help implement this at the best possible levels of expertise, and what the previous speaker said. I understand that you'll be making a decision about the money that stays with the regional fund in January, so I'll come back for that hearing. But basically, I do think TOA is an extremely critical vehicle to leverage additional funds that, frankly, given the current funding climate for affordable housing, the TOA fund is absolutely critical in the early investment in affordable housing that's providing a more equitable balance of housing in our transit areas, and therefore the support of the TOA fund, at least at the commitment that has been made previously, if not an increase from that $10 million, we in the housing community feel that that's absolutely critical. So we support that as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Evelyn Stivers, followed by Miriam Hawley.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to speak. My name is Evelyn Stivers. I'm with the Nonprofit Housing Association of Northern California. And I'm just going to focus on the TOA Fund because we would love for this commission to reaffirm the commitment that you guys made in May to the Transit-Oriented Affordable Housing Fund. This fund relies on commitments from foundations and from banks to match the funds that you put in to provide financing for affordable housing throughout the Bay Area. I don't want the signal to be sent to those entities that the commitment that you made is loose or watery or tentative. The additional investment we're estimating 1,800 units of deeply targeted affordable housing near transit. That would be about 5% of the very low and low income in that same time period of the RENA. That's not a huge amount, but considering there are not a lot of financing options available right now. And I know there's a concern that with the elimination of RDA, it'll be difficult to pay back those loans, but the communities in the Bay Area have been incredibly, both taking a huge leadership role and also very had a lot of ingenuity to try to figure out new funding sources. For example, Fremont has really stepped up and passed a housing impact fee. They've also dedicated a portion of their RDA money that's coming back to the city, their tax increment, to affordable housing. The communities of Sunnyvale, Sonoma County, Emeryville, Berkeley, Sunnyvale, Mountain View, East Palo Alto, Santa Rosa, Daly City, San Carlos have all either recently passed or are currently considering new funding streams for affordable housing. So we know that this program can work. We know that there's also a need for a state legislation. We were proponents. We were supporters of the state trust fund, SB 1220. We will champion it again. We would love your support. But the TOA fund is vital. It's really important. Please reaffirm the commitment that you made in May.
Thank you. Miriam Hawley, followed by Henry Hilken, followed by Sam Tepperman.
Good morning. I'm Mary Polly. I'm representing the League of Women Voters of the Bay Area today. We have, as a league, have had many concerns about both the content and the process of the action taken at the last commission meeting to switch the funding. The content is being addressed. We are happy to see in many good ways the executive director's put forward some good solutions. However, nobody's addressing the process. Obviously, there was no notice given for the action that was taken at the last meeting to switch the funds. It had not gone through MTC's normal processes, as has been acknowledged. Therefore, the staff, many commissioners, and certainly the public was in no position to comment, had not had time for deliberation. This action appears to be in violation of the Brown Act. And it's in conflict with many of MTC's own and often repeated protestations of respect for a transparent public process. It makes a mockery of public input. The harm has been done. We are astounded that no one is talking about it. No one is looking for a way to try to restore any degree of public trust in what's happening. What's going on behind the scenes now that will erupt next meeting as some kind of a motion that nobody's has seen before. We would like to see today that this motion, this problem be addressed. The league is certainly going to be following how you remedy these actions and how you protect against this happening again in the future. Thank you.
Thank you. Henry Hilken, followed by Sam Tepperman, followed by Lindsay Ina.
Good morning, Chair Tissier, members of the Commission. Henry Hilken of the Bay Area Air Quality Management District. Over the past couple years, Air District staff has worked very, very closely with MTC staff and ABEG staff on the SCS process. It's vitally important for us. Certainly, the greenhouse gas reductions that will be realized through the SCS will be extremely important for the region. Equally important for us, from our perspective, are the air quality co-benefits. The strategies that will be embedded in the SCS will also reduce air pollutants that have health effects for Bay Area residents. So there's a co-benefit, a twofer for us. We think it's extremely important. And the PDA planning component that you're discussing today is going to be a vital support mechanism of this process. Previous speakers, especially the speaker from San Francisco, have spoken to that very well. We think these planning funds are extremely important. And as these plans are prepared, I think many of you are familiar with an issue that the Air District has raised during this process, that while we plan for more infill and transit-oriented development through this process, we need to be mindful of very localized situations where there can be high levels of diesel exhaust and other air pollutants that can present health issues for those residents near congested freeways, near ports, near rail yards. Literally every week there are more studies coming out documenting respiratory, cardiovascular, other health impacts of fine particles and other air pollutants on near roadway residential areas. So it's vitally important that we take that into consideration as we do these plans. But equally important, this is not an insurmountable problem. There are planning strategies, there are feasible mitigation strategies that can minimize and reduce and address this potential concern. So our strong recommendation is that, my request to you is that whatever decision you ultimately make on the breakdown of the regional versus the CMA funding, that there be an expectation that those plans do, an element of those plans does specifically address and mitigate those potential local air quality exposures. And we certainly are committed to working with the regional agencies, with the CMAs, and with the cities on this. We realize you don't have air quality experts at the local level.
I have to stop you because you're talking.
And we will assist you with that. Thank you.
Sam Tepperman Gelfont, followed by Lindsay Amai, and Kate White.
Good morning. Sam Tepperman Gelfont with Public Advocates. I want to underscore the comments that were made about the process and the important need for MTC to address those issues that cropped up last month so that they don't get repeated in the future. I think it's important for transparency. It's also important for good policymaking. I think that what the Commission finds itself in this month is trying to clean up and discuss a lot of important policy issues that really should have been discussed before the vote was made last month. I think there was also issues that cropped up last month in the changes to the OBAG guidelines that were not run through the advisory committees either. And as a result of that, it seems like the language passed by the commission doesn't actually reflect the intent of the CMAs or the intent of the program, and that also needs to be cleaned up at that point. To make one specific suggestion today, when you pass, which I hope you will pass, the 95% pass-through for planning to local jurisdictions, I would ask that you include in that the expectation that the PDA planning grant guidelines, which have a great track record, have really shown great results in the regionally administered program, go along with that money, whether ABAG supervises the administration or the CMAs supervise the administration of those grants. This will ensure great local process, ensure that the full range of issues that need to be addressed in the PDA planning process are addressed, and really help the CMAs and the local governments engage in strong local planning. That's one of the things that I think can help clean up the decision last month to make sure that this great program with a great track record continues. And I would ask that you modify the staff suggestion to include a specific reference to the PDA planning grant guidelines. Thank you.
Thank you. Lindsay Amai, and then Kate White.
Lindsay Emi, Urban Habitat. That's okay. It wasn't so off. I'm also a member of the Regional Equity Working Group that's been participating for the last couple of years in developing the equity analysis for the Regional Transportation Plan and SCS. So I, at the risk of sounding like a record, a broken record, I wanted to reiterate some of the concerns that have been raised around the public process. And without going at length about how it really undermines public trust around participating in processes like this, I'd like to recommend that per Sam's recommendation that you do bring this item back, the item of the changes, the specific changes made to the OBAG program, to the advisory committee so there can be a discussion of, and a clarification about what those changes mean. For example, what does it mean that a CMA can define a community of concern? Those were changes that were made without discussion at the advisory groups, and this would be a way to kind of, I would say, in some ways, rectify or repair what's been done around that decision without engaging them. I would also agree with the recommendation that whoever does administer the $20 million that was shifted, that 95% go to jurisdictions, and that the PDA guidelines that have been established, the PDA planning grant guidelines that have been established at the regional level and that have a proven track record, be adhered to regardless of who administers them. And finally, wanted to also support retaining the commitment of $15 million to TOA. We know just how important affordable housing is to successful transit-oriented development. The low-income people are much more likely to use transit, depend on it, and help us meet our greenhouse gas emissions goals by not driving. And so we'd really like to see this commission reaffirm its commitment to that. Thank you.
Thank you. Kate White?
Good afternoon, Commissioners. Kate White with the San Francisco Foundation. I wanted to tout two outstanding programs, regional programs that are being discussed today, both the PDA planning regional planning program as well as the TOA fund, and urge your continued support of both. First of all, on the PDA planning program, everything that I've seen for the last 5-6 years on the station area plans that the cities have completed with great technical assistance and support from ABAG and MTC have been excellent. There's been over 40 station area plans that have been funded, resulting in 40,000 new units planned, 60,000 new jobs in PDAs, a great track record. I've heard and worked on some of these plans in my last hat with the Urban Land Institute, currently with the San Francisco Foundation, and have been very impressed with ABAG and MTC's important role. I hope the guidelines and the high expectation of those plans will hold over with the CMA money, assuming it sounds like it will stay at the CMA level. On the TOA fund, The San Francisco Foundation is one of the investors in the TOA Fund, along with a whole series of banks and foundations. When you made the original $10 million pledge a year ago, it helped leverage another $40 million. We are confident that another commitment in the $15 million range would leverage at least 3-to-1 additional dollars, resulting we're well on track with the TOA Fund already towards an 1,800-unit pipeline, and that is a revolving fund that will result in more units. And MTC's pledge and your commitment to this critical source will really mean a lot in terms of bringing in those additional private and philanthropic dollars. Thank you.
Mr. Haggerty, you had a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just real quick to staff, I just want to make sure I understand. I'm back on the ABAG letter, and I'm still trying to digest this 4121. And so in option one and two, where it's $6 million or $12 million for PDA planning grants, what you do is under option one, if there's $6 million there, you would add 20 and get $26 million. Is that correct?
Well, there would be $26 million in total.
Right.
20 would be selected at the county level and 6 at the regional level.
Okay. But irregardless, so that is the breakdown, and that does help. But I wasn't sure that everybody understood, because I certainly didn't, and maybe I was the only one in the room. But when you see this 6 and this 12, or even ABAG or MTC's request for 10, that's in addition to the 20.
Correct.
Okay. And then can I get maybe a Webster's interpretation of technical support? I still don't understand that. Well, who gets that?
Well, I Ezra might be the better guy to describe it, because he's the one offering
it. Is that a straight ABAG pass-through, or is that... So that's an additional $7 million for ABAG.
We create a pool of consultants that we manage and administers, and the cities apply for a specific assistance. So if they have a parking issue, parking regulation that need to resolve in order to proceed with a particular plan, if they need a marketing analysis, if they have a design question, they apply for that task. And what we do, again, in coordination with MTC, is to assign from the pool of consultants the appropriate service to cover that task.
Okay. And okay, I get that now. And so MTC believes that between the $10 million and the $20 million, the $7 million is not needed because there's ample money to deal.
No, I wouldn't say that, Commissioner.
Okay, well,
In our way of looking at the world, the PDA grant concept includes technical assistance. How much we do of one or the other, I don't think you need to sort that out today, frankly.
Okay. Well, I'm just trying to...
As long as you reserve an amount for PDA planning, then we can subsequently figure out how much of that should be grants, how much technical assistance, how much something else.
Okay. And the reason I'm really focusing in on those two is because I know you're just looking for kind of direction today, but I would like to see some TOA money put in, or some money put to the program. And, you know, from my standpoint, as I'm looking around, you know, I'm trying to get to $10 million, but that's just me and my world, and others may want more, others may want less.
If I may make a couple comments this morning from some of the things we've heard, I've heard that some were not happy with the process last month. You know, I have to say I indicated that I was not happy with it, but that process can happen because we are allowed to make amendments to existing resolutions. What's happening today, which I think is a good thing, is that it's been brought back for us to discuss that and what the implications are to what happened this last time. And that's what was asked for by myself and others. If it's going to go through, I agree that the money for the CMA is correct. I would have liked it to come to this meeting and have another time to talk about it. We actually do. This is everything's still really on the plate today, and we've had some public comments around this. And then we have some things to deal with in January that sort of flow from this. So, you know, I do think you have an opportunity today to make any comments about that. But I do think that we do have an ability to make amendments to different things that come to us, and that's what happened at the time. Some of us agreed with this, some of us didn't. But at the end of the day, I will say I agree that it's important for the CMAs to get that money. Today we're having an opportunity to talk about that and make any changes or additions to it so we clarify. I think what was tough last time is it wasn't as clear to some of us as it is today. I'd like to make a couple comments on what we're going to bring up in January, and that is that when we talk about these different options, and these, we have some from ABAG and we have some from MTC, one of the things I'd like us to consider, and we're not voting on it today, is that we look at option three but do it in a little different sense. $2 million to ABAG. I'd like to see the $15 million stay with TOA. I think that being able to leverage funds is critical. And then add in $3 million to the technical side so that people could draw from the technical, whether it be through ABAG, MTC. The cities have an option to have some assistance, and it doesn't take that TOA money away, because when this first happened, when that $40 million first came down, $15 million, if I recall, was supposed to be allocated to TOA. And I do agree with the nonprofits. As soon as you start indicating that you're going to start taking that away, it makes it very hard for those in the private sector to want to be leveraging money if they keep thinking it's in, it's out, it's up, it's down. So that's a suggestion I'd like to make, is look at option three but adjust it a little bit to give some technical dollars. Maybe it's not $7 million, but an additional $3 million, and keep the TOA funds at 15. So those are just some comments I have to make. I'm sure there's others that may have some additional comments. Mr. Bates?
Yeah, Madam Chair, thank you. So I wanted to make a few comments. First of all, I was one of those people at the last meeting who didn't support the action we're taking at that time, because I thought it wasn't proper. But, you know, I'm willing to live with that decision. I'm particularly willing to live with a decision given the fact that the staff brought this back today, and we're having a thorough discussion and thorough opportunity for people to debate it. It's not the way I'd like to go, but I think the action we're taking is correct. I have a question, and then I have lots of comments. First, the question, I've been approached by various people saying they were left out on the first and second round about PDAs, and they're interested in becoming a PDA. Is that door closed at this point in time?
Pardon me, Commissioner. I was
The question is, are PDA designations closed at this time?
Oh, I don't believe so.
No, it's ongoing. However, what we need to make clear is for the distribution of the 1B area grants, that is linked to RENA and to the existing PDAs as of today or when
so,
the
so they'd have
RENA
to wait
was
for the next round.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
so,
we will take the PDA, and they will have, those jurisdictions will have access to the planning grants.
Okay. So I also wanted to raise the issue that has been spoken to by other members, and that is that we did transfer $15 million that we were planning for housing, and with the idea that it's going to be replaced. I'm just wondering, I'd like to have a little bit more assurance that we're going to see that replaced. And where will it come from, do we know? Is housing money that got traded?
Excuse me, Commissioner, I was distracted again.
I know that my comments draw your attention.
No,
that's okay.
You've got to see the attorney over there next time.
That's okay. I'm just wondering about when we did have to put $15 million for housing we had to use in this allocation of. And I'm wondering about, we said it's going to be replaced, and I'm just wondering about, and I want to have some more assurance about that replacement.
I guess you're still losing me.
I'm sorry. I'm talking about the $15 million that was used in the original allocation of the 40. Am I incorrect about that? If I am, I'm sorry.
This is Ann Flemmer, Deputy Executive Director, Policy. The $15 million was designated in the original OBAG action of the commission. What is under discussion today is of the remaining 18.
Right.
Would we keep the $15 million at that for TOA out of that fund? If
okay.
That's the question. The other issue is that the loan, the TOA fund itself is a revolving loan program.
Right. Right.
So as monies are paid back into it, the amount of funding in TOA, continues to be replenished over time.
You know, Commissioner, I apologize because this time I was just being thick. The numbers you're referring to were buried inside a resolution, and I don't think had very much public visibility at all. So as far as I'm concerned, we fully intended, no matter what happened, to come back to you with a specific idea. That was just sort of a stalking horse at the time.
Okay.
So I wouldn't hold up anything against that to say I won or lost versus that number.
I just want to, go on record that I'm very interested in continuing the TOCA and making sure that it's funded and making sure we, because anytime we can draw 3-1 as for low-income housing is certainly worth proceeding. The other thing I wanted to mention is we've heard several comments from members of the public about the PDA planning guidelines being required of the CMAs. Would you like to make some comments about whether that's an appropriate amendment? I tend to think it is, and I would like to know why that's not a good idea.
The planning director.
Good morning, commissioners. It might be useful just to mention, because I think we've talked in sort of vague terms around planning, which is real easy because that's what people tend to do, but the PDA planning grant program did one specific thing. It funded neighborhood-level plans, specific plans in priority development areas. One was done for this neighborhood, the Lake Merritt Station Area Plan. There were planning grant guidelines developed by staff that were vetted through committees that require a whole host of things related to connectivity to transit, planning for affordable housing. All of the planning grants also had, and you mentioned this, Commissioner Bates, for the most part, they funded programmatic environmental impact reports. So projects, once the plans are approved, can come in, tier off of those plans that really cleared the process. And I think the administrative role that was done at the regional agency level was in part about connecting the dots between different cities and their efforts, learning from one another, and also trying to tee things up across the transit network and really leverage the transit investments that have already been made and are being made in the future. So the grant guidelines kind of evolved over time, but they really set a framework so that every grant that's funded by MTC, that's administered by the two agencies, achieves a number of objectives. And part of the administration is about making sure that that's happening. It's not about assuming that city staff aren't capable of doing the work. Typically, the work is primarily done by consultants. It's about making sure that the money invested in these communities is well spent.
So the question is, why don't we require the CMAs to go through the PDA planning guidelines?
You could certainly do that.
And is that, is that something you'd recommend? Because you're not recommending.
Yes.
Okay. Madam Chair, I would like, when the time comes, to make sure that gets, raised as an issue so that we get that, when we get the proper time. The last thing I want to mention is that I think that this whole technical support, I was interested and curious about it, and I still am, but I think it actually could provide us with an interesting opportunity. And what I'd like to do is ask that the MTC staff and ABAG staff try to work. If we actually move together at 390 Main, it's my understanding the planning groups would be actually together, working together in a very close way. So the question is, how could we do this in a way that would foster that coming together and planning together in a more closer way and so use it as an opportunity to actually build a more regional opportunity?
Getting back to what we're supposed to be moving forward with, I do think that on the six actions that were listed out there, I do think that the first three, the staff interpretation of what was moved last month is correct. I'm in agreement with that. On number four, this whole business about CMAs, somehow concocting some wild schemes out there. I mean, if people were actually followed what was going on in our own county, they might not be so fuzzy about it. We are right now, we've already, in the Alameda County Transportation Commission, we've already at the committee level approved guidelines already, which have eliminated 60% of the fluff of the PDAs. I mean, we have 43 in our county. We've already said that 26 of them are basically fantasy island stuff. Let's say that for another decade. So we've already cut off much of the peripheral stuff already. So we're fine. We're leading by example. We've already done that. I think that the 5% share for CMAs for administration is certainly liberal. I mean, we usually run things tighter than that in our county. And on number six, getting back to six, I would say that either going through Caltrans or the CMAs, and again, getting back to that, gets me back to, so I'm in approval, or I would move all six of these items, actually. And then as far as I know, we've had different numbers, 50 is almost like auction bidding, 10, 12, 15. Pretty soon, total will be up to 50 if you keep going. I'm not sure that any of those numbers I would ultimately be supportive of, but I do think that, as I said earlier, I do agree that some TOA money should be in there. I know, again, just as a reminder for people, that was last year, earlier this year, it was at 10. So it's, you know, 12 is a 20% increase, 15 is a 50% increase. Just keep those numbers in mind. I do think that getting back to the, again, which is going to be a January action, but I do think that the ABAG option one, as it is written, would be improved with, again, the modification of that ABAG. It isn't prerogative, or it isn't demanding that it does administer the CMA, but would help to administer if CMA is requested. With that, I think that some variation off those numbers. I mean, I'm not stuck at 6, 7, 6, and 2, but those that with that wording and then whatever fluctuation off those numbers off option 1 would be sufficient. But I would, Madam Chair, move those 6 items that were up for consideration today.
I'll second that. Discussion, Mr. Sterry?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair, and I support the motion. You know, I want to, you know, several of the speakers are talking about this public process, and I think there's a lot of confusion. First of all, 4035 was on consent, and none of the speakers seemed to object to that, that was just going to go through on consent with no discussion. What the commission did is it took it off of consent for discussion, which I think really enhances the public process. And, and I think the commission had a very healthy discussion and debate about that issue. And if you look at what the proposal, and if you listen to the proposal, there is nothing that was proposed that's inconsistent or not included in Resolution 4035. And what's being proposed today, and I appreciate staff, and, you know, if there's any apology to be made, it ought to be made to Ann and Alex, you know, the way this thing developed. And certainly, I have concerns about that. But, you know, what is it when you have a discussion, maybe you didn't get it your way, and when you don't get it your way, it's the public process. But there was nothing proposed that was inconsistent or that was not included in 4035 except for one thing. We were giving the CMAs all this responsibility, but we're not giving them any money. And, you know, I find it amusing, a couple of the speakers saying, you shifted money or the switch. Well, I didn't even know the money was allocated, and I bet you most of the commissioners sitting at this table didn't know the money was allocated. So maybe there was some secret deal being made that we weren't aware of. Maybe there should be some sunshine on that process. But, you know, I find it, you know, kind of disturbing when people get up and talk about this public process. And that was on consent, doggone it, and we took the time to talk about it. And so, and Steve, I really appreciate, I think the staff did a good job going back and listening to the tape and putting the three commission actions very accurate, and 4, 5, and 6, I think, was really the intent. You know, in the motion that there's passed through to the city, that was clarified by Steve Kinsey. He made it real clear that was part of it. And then part of that motion was that 4035, all of the planning process, the ABAG's participation, all the requirements of the CMAs, all stayed in place. And so I don't know what this deal everybody's talking about, this that we pulled the wool over somebody's eyes. That's not what we did. What we did is we said, we're going to give them the responsibility. Let's give them the money, so $20 million. So if you want to discuss that, I think that's a legitimate discussion. So I do support the 6 points. The other issue that I did want to talk about is the TOA funds. The one thing about TOA, you know, so much of this money goes to process. TOA delivers projects. And so the more money you put into TOA, the more projects we get delivered on the street. And, you know, if I had my choice, it would be option 3. I'd go with the $18 million in the TOA program. But I really believe that we should not have less than $12 million in it. A 20% increase, I think, is reasonable. But I sure hope that the commission clearly makes a commitment to the TOA program, because that's where we're actually delivering projects and making a difference. And the other issue that I want to raise, you know, Steve, you talked about this is federal money and it has federal conditions and federal rules. Well, I would contend that the CMAs have a hell of a lot more experience working with the federal government and these federal rules and guidelines than ABAG does. And so, you know, we've been dealing with it for a long time. The other issue on affordable housing, most of the CMAs are made up of council members or people that deal with affordable housing, deal with many of these problems in their communities, or dealing with how we're managing the resources without redevelopment. And so, you know, I always am kind of puzzled when they refer to the CMAs as being all these dumb people that don't know anything about planning. I mean, they're made up of mayors or people that have considerable experience in it. And so the CMAs are not as inept as people are trying to portray them as. Does ABAC have a role to play? Yes, they do. They have a very important role to play. And I think Mark's comments I agreed with, that I think we have to go back, take a look at it. Some of the CMAs are not going to elect to do this. Some will. But there needs to be a meeting between the CMAs, directors, MTC staff, and ABAG staff, and come back with a program or come back with something that we talk about. How do we fill those gaps that aren't being filled as we go through this process? And that ABAG's expertise in this is important. And so with that, Madam Chair, I'm off my soapbox. Thank you.
Okay, let me just ask one question. This is the last call for cards. I'm going to ask this individual to come forward, and then I'm going to close the public comment. Michael Lane.
Thank you. Just real quick, and I appreciate the opportunity. I just wanted to respond to the discussion about the process, and all I wanted to focus on was resolution number 4035, and I think it's very appropriate that we do that. And that's where we got the $15 million amount. And as you said, the commissioners had pulled that off the consent calendar and then treated that. So Mr. Heminger said it was a stalking horse, but we really took that number seriously, and that's the number we've been working off of, the $15 million. And so in order to honor that process, that's the only piece we wanted to point out. And that's where we got that original $15 million number. And we'd actually ask you to ask you today to reaffirm that action you took in May to maintain that $15 million. It didn't appear in any of the staff reports, and that was our concern. No reflection on that previous motion and action that you had taken. Staff didn't even refer to that in their reports and actually came to you with proposals that would actually zero out TOA, and we just felt that was inappropriate. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Jake McKenzie, 9 Sonoma Cities and Sonoma County. I won't throw any more gasoline on Sparing's fire. I think he spoke eloquently and passionately about process. I agree with him. I also appreciate it, as a mayor of a city who sits on a CMA and who has twice chaired our CMA in Sonoma County, that, in fact, yes, I've spent 16 years fighting for affordable housing in the city of Roanoke Park and in Sonoma County, as well as my duties as a transportation authority director. All of that being said, I would also remind people that, as our last public speaker said, there were actions taken in May jointly at a very public meeting where this direction that we are putting the finishing touches on today, where that direction was clearly established by the Metropolitan Transportation Commission in open session. There can be no question about Haggerty was supposed to be here so I could point to him and say it was Haggerty's motion, which many of us supported, and it was passed. So thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate Commissioner Sparing's integrity and his passion, and certainly don't take issue with the process. Obviously, I was on the losing end of that discussion last month. But I think one thing we can all agree on is that we all want the money to go to the cities that have land use planning expertise, and we want the money to go to the PDAs where it can do the most good. And I guess what I'm concerned about at the 30,000-foot level is we have some of a schizophrenic approach right now to how the money is going to get distributed. We've got at least a couple million going to ABAG. We've got MTC distributing a whole lot. And we've got congestion management agencies distributing $20 million or more. And it's not obvious to me, you know, I appreciate what you're saying, Commissioner Sparing, about the fact that elected officials sit on the boards of these things. But we all know in these regional agencies, whether they're CMAs or MTC or ABAG, it's really the staff that does the heavy lifting. And the overwhelming majority of votes are unanimous and on consent and so forth. And where you want the technical expertise is to be on the staff. And congestion management agencies, to my knowledge, typically are not land use planning agencies, nor is MTC. And so I'm just kind of wondering, you know, I know this is the one thing that probably nobody wants to hear on this board. Is really this the right direction? Shouldn't we be thinking about land use planning agencies, that is, those agencies that do it, have the biggest role and the dominant role in directing where the money goes. Now, obviously, we have a strict set of guidelines we hope everyone's going to follow, whether it's at the CMA level or here at the regional level, ABAG or MTC. Hopefully that means the money goes where it's supposed to go, no matter who distributes it. But I think one thing we need to at least think about is how quickly we can expect congestion management agencies to get up to speed to do land use planning. Not obvious to me, as sophisticated as I think Santa Clara County might be, that VTA is really the best equipped agency to do that. So that's one concern I have at the 30,000-foot level. And then the second thing I'm going to say, which will also be, I'm sure, popular to no one, is, and by the way, I led an inclusionary housing initiative in the city of San Jose to make San Jose the largest city in the country with citywide inclusionary housing. I believe passionately in affordable housing. But I am concerned about mission creep here. We've got $10 million that went to affordable housing. I think it would be helpful for us to understand more about those projects, how the money was used. I understand there was leverage 4-to-1. I think that's great. Really, I mean, I know of at least a couple projects here that don't look all that close to fixed transit. Maybe we're defining it just as bus stops. That's fine. But let's at least understand clearly what we're getting with the money and whether or not this is a business MTC should be in, or if we should be delegating this authority as well to some other agency that's really focused on affordable housing development in the Bay Area. I know, again, that's what no one wants to hear because we all want to control the purse strings here, but I'm really concerned about the mission creep of this organization, and I think we do best when we focus on transportation, development, and operations.
Yes, thank you. Just one point of information on the recommendation number 6, where it suggests that the jurisdictions directly go to Caltrans for processing the funds. It will place the pressure where we have the least capacity, which is our local assistance division. Although they've been able to deliver 100% of the work that it is on their plate, that does put pressure where we really do not have much capacity.
Thank you, Mr. Sartipi. We'll take note of that. Mr. Bates, Ms. Halstead, and Mr. Cortese.
So I think in the discussion, I raised the issue about the PDA guidelines, and I think I'd like to ask the maker of the motion and the seconder to consider a friendly amendment. And that would be on commission action number 1, and then adding the sentence something similar to, and the CMA shall use the existing PDA planning guidelines in evaluating PDA grants. Excuse me?
Okay. Commissioner, I think number four would be
okay,
a good place for it,
okay,
if you don't mind.
That's fine.
And as I heard Commissioner Green, his amendment on the ABAG option would be an amendment to item number 6.
That was that accepted as a? I mean, let me ask
you. What's your problem with 4 as it's written? That's my question to you. I mean, it says be aligned with the investment and growth strategies. I mean, what do you want?
Well, I was thinking that there are specific guidelines that are out there that people have.
Well, it says, you know.
Well, I don't know. We can just clarify that if that's what that means. I'm happy with that. I don't read it that way.
Commissioners, if I may, they are related but two different things. So the PDA growth strategies are what the CMAs have been developing to implement the plan moving forward. They have a set of criteria. Commissioner Green described what's happening in Alameda County. The PDA planning grant requirements are what were required for the grant program that was run at the regional level. And there are a series of requirements related to planning for affordable housing and so forth.
So, okay, would the maker of the motion accept that as a...
Well, I figure out what it is that you can't...
Well, there's a lot of confidence that people in the public have concerns that we've worked out guidelines. Those guidelines have been
used.
Okay,
well, we're working them out. I mean, maybe I'm presumptive here. I mean, I'm assuming the other 8, the other 7 counties and the city of San Francisco are going to say, here's carte blanche, here, you know, you applied and here's money. I'm sure that they're all coming up. Is that a safe assumption? I mean, I'm asking staff. I mean, is it safe to assume that the other counties are going through a similar process to what we're doing in Alameda County?
I think it probably is, but I think it's also the case that every county may not be complying with the letter of these planning grant guidelines. So if you want them to, we ought to require it.
Thank you.
Okay, let me go in the order that I've got here.
And then while I have the floor, I'm sorry, did the other amendment you were requesting, is that in the motion? I'm sorry, the one about the option of the, yeah, is that in the motion?
Well, I had thought that the, well, I mean, we could call it that, but I really thought, Steve, that the, what you talked about, you thought it maybe, I don't know if it's really six or is it that the January motion? Because I'm really,
well, I don't think it is January, Commissioner. Okay. So if I could just read you some language and see if you like it. All so right. On item six on the board, you replace the first or with a comma, and then you add the following phrase at the end. Or the CMA may request that ABAG administer the grants in cooperation with the local jurisdiction.
I'm okay with that.
Can I ask a question, though? I thought I heard Bijan say that perhaps Caltrans wouldn't be the best spot for this to come through because of a capacity issue.
Well, I think he's indicating that the more folks who try to go through local assistance, the harder it is, and he's right about that. But I think they are entitled to try if they want to. I mean, if we give somebody money, they're allowed to try.
Could you reread that in full?
Reading item number six as proposed to be amended. Jurisdictions may either directly access funds through Caltrans, comma, the CMAs may choose to administer program and provide jurisdictions individual grants, comma, or the CMA may request that ABAG administer the grant in cooperation with the local jurisdiction.
All right, you're comfortable with that. Okay, let me go down the line. Commissioner Halstead, followed by Commissioner Cortese.
Just briefly, I was unable to be here for that discussion at that last meeting, so I appreciate your going through all this and educating me on what was done. It's been very instructive. I would like to be sure that we keep the TOA fund in at our original commitment. I would hate to lose the commitment of the other investors in this fund or their credibility, their sense of our credibility, because I think that in these days that low-income housing or the is tough to come by. So I encourage us to do that. I'm certainly on board with the motion on the floor, and we'll also think it would be great if we could have a presentation on TOA at the next meeting prior to our voting on the final number.
What I would suggest, Commissioner, is we bring that information in regular order through, I guess it would probably be the Planning Committee, and we'll invite ABAG too, and we can give you some detail. I think Commissioner Licardo was asking for it as well.
One other short matter is I think that our policy advisory committee asked for the opportunity to review some of this. I assume they have the ability to do that.
They will get that.
Thank you.
Okay. Commissioner Cortese, followed by Commissioner Kinsey, followed by Commissioner Worth.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm going to support the motion. It was 6 points, as I understand how they've been articulated now. Just a couple of comments on the motion, and I want to... I want to express some sentiment or some agreement with Commissioner Ricardo's comments coming from the Santa Clara County perspective, remembering that we have a very successful long-term housing trust. So I think this detail will help us understand, even though that doesn't necessarily exist, obviously doesn't exist in other counties the way we have it and the leverage opportunities that we've taken advantage of in Santa Clara County may actually be best practices that we can, you know, ultimately share as that, you know, the articulation of that program continues. I personally would be uncomfortable getting much over $12 million when we get to that point. That sounds like a good place to gravitate, you know, at that level, on that at this point. I expressed some concern early on in this process about the CMAs, just based on my many years of service on VTA. It is, by nature, a part-time board, heavily staff-driven, and it's not where the land use decisions really get made in our county, especially with a big city like San Jose taking up 60% of the county. However, I think I'm trying to remember, and I think we all probably are well served to remember that this process, unlike a lot of most of the funding that we do as the Transportation Commission, isn't linear, where it just goes, where the process isn't linear, where we just approve funds that go somewhere and then that's the end of it. The whole thing is very circular and cyclical. The CMAs are going to have to correspond to PDA guidelines that, you know, people like Laurel Prevetti, for example, our assistant planning director in San Jose, or San Jose's assistant planning director, have participated in fully and have worked with planning staff up here on. So there's already alignment there. And it seems to me that process is going to keep, you know, moving along in a very cyclical way. And then in terms of, you know, the ABAG piece, which has had a lot of discussion here and at the ABAG executive board meeting, which I was present at recently, you know, the planning integration is required by law now. More importantly, the executive directors and you know, as we've heard many times, have willingly and voluntarily integrated planning efforts here. So that's going to happen in terms of administering grants on the regional side. So, you know, even though it looks like we're creating a lot of autonomy on the CMAs, I think they're really fundamentally end up back at the same place. You know, city general plans like the one Council Member Licardo just presided over in San Jose are really going to end up dictating, I think, where money goes, and have already dictated where the PDA applications have come from, you know, from the cities in our county. So that's why I'm comfortable with where we're at. In essence, with those caveats, that especially with regard to the housing trust, I think, again, from our perspective, it's not necessarily how we would funnel money. We would probably funnel it into our own housing trust and let them to keep leveraging the way they've been doing, instead of putting it in a second one on a regional basis. But as a good regional team player here, you know, the jury's still out on that, I guess. Thank you.
Commissioner Kinsey followed by Commissioner Wirth. And I will remind us, we have a Baja meeting in San Francisco after this.
Great. Well, you know, I appreciate it. You know, the thing that I want to talk about is this modification of number four, to sort of limit it to stationary planning guidelines, which is what I think that Mayor Bates has asked for, and it's been concurred to. So it's a question to Ken Kirky, because, you know, I've got a PDA around our major transit hub that's received stationary planning grants and has completed successfully all of that. You know, the things that we're going to be needing in our communities are going to be pre-entitlement CEQA work, housing element changes that reflect the PDAs that we have, and things of that nature. And it just seems to me that those are not covered in the PDA planning area. So here we are making changes on the floor without seeing any language that could, in fact, reduce the effectiveness of our stationary planning grants. So I'm concerned about this language, even though I understand the intent is to say don't wander off and ignore all of the good work that's involved in those planning guidelines. And I'm just wondering if you envision this as actually limiting the way the motion has been proposed.
No, I wouldn't say that. I think the planning grant guidelines were, first of all, the planning grant funds that were moved to the CMAs, that money was specifically for neighborhood plans, specific plans. So the planning grant guidelines were a very good fit. They were developed for that specific program. If this $20 million is to be used for by a CMA for another purpose, to support PDA planning at a local level, but for a programmatic EIR that follows on a plan that's already been done, or some sort of technical assistance work, those planning grant guidelines, by and large, don't apply to that type of project. And perhaps your motion should reflect that if
that's why I'm asking.
If a CMA is advancing a PDA planning grant, a station plan, a neighborhood plan, a specific plan, whatever it's being called, that the planning grant guidelines would apply. By their very nature, they wouldn't apply to the types of things you just described.
Right, and I don't think we want to limit our communities. And, in fact, it's not the CMAs that would be doing that. Again, it's a pass-through to the local jurisdictions. So in some respects, I think if we were comfortable with softening the language to say that they be in the spirit, or that we send this back to the committees and we give a little bit more opportunity to really fine-tune this so we're not cutting off some of the most important next steps that communities that have used these planning grants to get ready to make the next step. So it's either going to have to be figured out into the motion, or I'll be reluctant to support it if it's going to undermine the next step that many of our PDA areas want to take.
Well, but it seems to me Ken probably just gave you the language right there. And if you'll trust us to write it down, or I could try to repeat it now, the basic idea is that the planning grant guidelines would apply only to activities that are relevant to those guidelines.
I like that. That's so obtuse that I could support anything, yeah. Thank you.
Okay, we've got so far one last speaker, I think, here.
We have
two last speakers. Commissioner Wirth and Commissioner Bates.
Thank you very much. I want to thank everyone for the discussion today and last month. It really reflects the fact that we're going to accomplish this. It's going to have to happen on the ground at the local level, consistent with our regional planning. And so that's why I supported the motion last month to move funds, again, to the local, at the county level basis, to make the decisions as to where those funds can be allocated. At the same time, I'm cognizant of the fact that it's really important, particularly in light of the cutbacks that cities have faced because there's no planning money coming in anymore, to have the regional support. And it's going to happen at the CMA level, so when our 104 planning directors get together, they can come to their own county as opposed to have to all go into one central jurisdiction. But at the same time, that ABAG, MTC, and again, I think it's important to acknowledge that we have functionally integrated our planning functions. So this is our two agencies working together to have the resources to continue to do their working to do that. So I would support some modifications to provide more money to do that. Again, particularly in light of the fact that cities many of the planning staffs have been decimated. But the third piece on the TOA plan, and when I voted last month to move the $20 million to the local CMA deals, I did it with, in my mind, it had no impact on the continued commitment to the TOA fund. So I am very much in favor of continuing that substantial level of commitment. I know today we will not be discussing any specific numbers, but I would be really looking towards a significant commitment in the area of 15. We've talked about $15 million. But the reason, and I think what we need to do with the TOA fund, and we're going to hear more about how it's being allocated and the success, is that I would also like to see us go beyond that in terms of using the force of this organization to go back to the private sector to increase their commitment to this affordable housing opportunity. Because given the fact that RDAs have that source is off the table right now, and who knows, I know the legislature is going to grapple with it, but I believe that we have the opportunity to get additional private significant foundation and bank dollars. Wells Fargo got a tremendous amount of PR the other day for announcing that they were going to be looking at how to increase mortgage availability. I think that we've got local banks that should be stepping up to the plate a lot more, especially in light of where we are. So I think not only should we continue that, but we should also really get actively engaged in the whole TOA effort. But the other thing, I agree with Commissioner Kindy's issues about the PDA guidelines and the strategic planning investment. I think that I would feel very comfortable with staff coming back to us, looking at those guidelines and those two documents, because they're evolving, to make sure that we're able to allocate the money in the spirit in which it was intended, but not create barriers to kind of taking things to the next step. So I look forward to that coming back, with staff having really fleshed out those guidelines. The other piece of information I think is going to be important is to really clarify for all of us in the public, the role that the cities, the CMAs, and the region will have in providing planning support, with the ultimate goal is we want to produce these housing units, this PDA investment program, so that we can basically track how, you know, how this is going to link together. So anyway, with that, I'd support that direction.
So, Madam Chair, I'll be brief. Thank you. So I brought up in the discussion, and I don't know exactly how to take this forward, but I'm really interested since, you know, I'm hoping that ABAG will make the judgment to join us at 390 Main, and I am very interested in trying to figure out how we can actually integrate this planning so that we can actually have it move more towards having a situation where we're looking at all of these issues together. And so I would encourage us to figure out how we might do that and what steps we might take to see that happen.
Seeing no other speakers, we have a motion, a second on the floor. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Seeing none, that motion passes. Thank you. And I know Andrew was going to, for those of us in Baja.
Yeah, so on Commissioner Bates's question, we're going to tell you right now how to take the first step to do that.
So, commissioners, we have several options to get you to 390 Main Street. We understand that there was an accident on the bridge, but it's been cleared. The bridge is now moving well, so cars will work. We have parking on the Beale side entrance, so there's plenty of parking if you choose to drive. It'd be nice if we could carpool a few folks. I know Steve has a car. I have a car. Commissioner Steve does not have a car. We have a couple cars. We can meet downstairs. If you choose to leave your car at the building, you need to put on one of these tags because you will get a ticket from the BART police. So let me know, and we'll give that. Randy is going to shepherd some folks over if they want to take BART. It's no longer raining in the city, so the walk from BART is about 8 minutes from door to door.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Can I just make a request in the future if we're going to have Baja meetings at the building that we have all the meetings there? I think this is really unwieldy, and we, as this discussion has shown, that it's impossible to predict when we're going to go very on at length about a particular item. So it's just a just a request.
Yeah, I apologize for that. And we're actually going to start demolishing the walls inside the building, so you're not going to have a chance to go over there anytime soon anyway.
Meeting is adjourned.